We'll be looking at 1 Corinthians 15:58. We're just looking at a verse there. We're going to be departing from this text. This is not our text, but 1 Corinthians 15:58, the conclusion of the chapter on the resurrection. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And, of course, it's a great verse. It reminds us, as we think of the resurrection and eternity, reminds us that our life on this earth needs to be filled with serving the Lord. And when we face the Lord, it says your labor will not be in vain. And Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, that life can easily become vain, life can easily become empty, life can easily be purposeless, and we can spend our whole life, and when it's all over, have really, have nothing. Have nothing that has eternal value. And of course, the resurrection is reminding us that those things we do with eternal value in mind, that will not be in vain. And it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And as we think of life, we need to really consider what are we doing? What is the value of our life? What is our focus in life? What are we going to accomplish with our life? And I'd like us to turn to a familiar verse, Matthew chapter 16. And this is not an unfamiliar verse to you, but I want to apply this principle to that particular principle of making your life count. Matthew 16, verse 18, and here is the Lord speaking. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Here we find that there's something that is very important to the Lord Jesus Christ, and something that is significant in life. And that is the institution of the New Testament church. Jesus said, I will build my church. And the Lord is interested in this age in establishing and building the New Testament church. Now, we need to have the right focus and the purpose of our life. I think I've mentioned this even recently. As we think of our missionaries, think of the land of Kenya. Most people, not all, but, a lot of people in Kenya just eke out a living. They just eke out a living. They never have much. They never have much excess. For a lot of them, life is maybe short. And there's just multitudes of them. But we have missionaries in Kenya. And Michael right now is trying to establish Lighthouse Baptist Church. You know what? The New Testament church is God's plan. And here in that city, there's people that have been saved and they're ministering to people. And for most of those people, they're going to spend their life, just eking out a living, just existing. I mean, that's what they're going to do. They're just going to exist. For a lot of them, their life will maybe even be just a whole set of problems. You know what I'm saying? But every one of those people that go to that church, they could decide that they are going to make their life count for something that is
unbelievably valuable, that has eternal value, that is exactly the most important thing they could ever accomplish in their life. They could decide that they would give their life to the Lord and give themselves to be a vital part of the backbone of that church that could have a tremendous impact all over Kenya. But you know what? People are human. People are human. And the majority of people that go to that church, they're really not interested in making their life count for something eternal, or they don't get it. They don't get it. They want to go to church, and they want to maybe sit in a chair, and they want, you know, a great sermon, and they want to have some spiritual help. But they don't want to invest their life in establishing that church. And so they'll spend the rest of their life in, who knows, if they really accomplish anything of any value the rest of their life. But they have this great opportunity to really be a part of something that's really, 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 really important. Not only for mankind, but for God. Now, and I'm not just picking on people in Kenya. You know what? It's like that all over the world. I think of Brother Kanish there. He's worked with homeless people. He's worked with city people. A lot of them have ruined their life. And he comes, and there he's there trying to start a New Testament church. And he's preaching his heart out there. And he's giving these people who have really ruined their whole life, he's giving them, they don't know it, he's giving them an opportunity to make their life count for something that is bigger than they could ever imagine. But I don't know what people think. People think, oh, it costs me something. Is it going to cost me something to give my life to that? Going to cost me something? I know it does. But you know, Christianity isn't about what you can get. Christianity is about what you can give. Real Christianity is not about what you can get, but it's about what you can give. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross and deny yourself. And come follow me. An investment of a life. And I think that's... If you've been around here long enough, you could probably say, you know what? You could probably say, and I don't want to name names, but you can probably say, you know what? There's a few people that I know that they have invested their life in this church. They have determined that's God's call upon their life. They have invested their life in this church. You know who they are. And you know what? Every church, the strength of a church has to do with the number of families who will give themselves to invest themselves to build a church. Every church is that way. I believe that a layperson has to look at their church in the same way that a pastor looks at it. I'm here. You know why I'm here? Because God called me here. That's why I'm here. And a lay person who gets a hold of God's plan, they have to as well understand that principle. God's called me here to invest my life in building a New Testament church. And you know, when you do that, you get a lot of side benefits. And I don't talk about all the side benefits, but what do you invest your life in? Something that's eternal, something that's in the center of God's plan. That's exactly what the Bible is telling us. You know, think of the Navajo people. Brother Forrest is working with the Navajo people. And you know what? Rather than eking out a living that's surrounded by drunkenness and drugs and everything else that's out there, you know what? They could decide that they're going to make something out of their life. They could give their life to serve Him and establish a living testimony for Jesus Christ that's powerful. Because it's got solid people who aren't wavering, who are there, and they're at every service, and there's strength there. You know, there's a whole mushroom effect of that. But you know, it's so difficult, the foresters, you know, they're striving to find one family, even one family, that will lift themselves out of the emptiness of that culture. You understand what I'm at? We need to understand. You know, you need to understand that, you know, your life is vital to a New Testament church. Your life is vital. It has tremendous significance, more than any person in this building probably would ever know. It's not in vain. Now, the devil, he certainly knows that, doesn't he? He certainly knows that. And he certainly will do everything to get people not to give their life to serve, to build and establish a church. He'll do everything he can to get people thinking about themselves or whatever you want to think about. He'll do it because he knows exactly what life is all about, and et cetera. So we need to have that. I have 5 minutes left to the rest of my message. Okay, so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, it tells us, "Now ye are the body of Christ." A miracle, amazing statement, written to the church at Corinth, that the church at Corinth, the saved, baptized members of that church at Corinth, were a living, spiritual body of Christ. That is an amazing fact. I mean, that is an amazing fact. I can't even hardly comprehend it. That church was a living, functioning, spiritual organism to do the work of God, to do the work of Jesus Christ on this earth. Wow. I mean, do you understand the significance of that? That's big. Now, you know, someone said, it's amazing what God can do when you think of what he has to work with. And you know what? We know what he has to work with. And then he says that the church is a living spiritual organism. It's a living body. Wow, that's pretty big. But in this chapter, what does it say? It says, verse 14, it says, "For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, so is therefore not of the body," etc., etc. It says, verse 18, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." Oh boy, that's a little bit a new perspective. That verse is telling us that even though you had to make the decision to join this church, it was God who put you here. It was His plan. He set you here. Why? Because He has given you abilities, and those abilities were given you by God, and they have been given to you by God for you to be rich. No. For you to serve in a local church. That's what it says. That's the primary function of the believer. All those abilities, your brain power, your organizational power, I don't care what it is, He's given that for you to function in the local church, that it can be a powerful, living, effective, functioning body of Christ doing the work of Jesus Christ on this earth. Now, this verse is telling us that in God's plan, whatever abilities God gave you, He really gave them for one reason that supersedes all other reasons. It was for you to function with those in the local church. That's His body. That's the primary purpose of those things. And it also implies in this passage of Scripture, when a person joins the church, they are surrendering all those abilities to God. That's what it implies. Now, we know that's not really the way it works, right? Because sometimes people think they're doing the pastor a favor or they're doing a church a favor by doing whatever they know how to do. Well, you aren't doing me a favor and you aren't doing God a favor. God gave you those abilities for that very purpose. And people who think they're doing the favor for the pastor usually get bitter. They get bitter because you're not serving me. You know, we're in a local church to use our abilities because God gave us those abilities. And when we join a church, we're surrendering those abilities to God. We aren't serving man. We're serving God. Now, if we're serving men, we will get bitter. But if we're serving God, we'll be happy no matter what happens. Because we got the right focus. So, you know, we'll have to go to the next verse here. But Hebrews chapter 11, this is our last verse that kind of puts this together. Just a reminder here. Hebrews chapter 6. I'm not thinking well. Hebrews 11, 6. You know the verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. I'm just coming here because you know what? This is a life of faith. This is a life of faith. Huh, right? Well, the Bible says, He said, I'll build my church. Well, guess what? Oh, you're going to believe what it's faith to say, okay, this is God's plan. Right? It's faith. I have to believe what the Bible says. The Bible says, okay, here's my abilities. God gave them to me. To function in a local church, you know what? Faith. That's really, it's faith. You know why? Because we're living in this real world. And we can just say, I'm going to use them for myself. No, it's faith that says, God gave them to me to serve Him with. And they're to be used in the local church. Other verses we could use tonight that would emphasize this. But as we think of our life, don't minimize the importance of your life. One of the most important things you can do in life is to be an anchor of a New Testament church. That's one of the most important things you can do in your whole life. Whether you are a lay person or whether you are called to full-time ministry, you know, really, in one sense of the word, the reward is the same. There's nothing more, and you can see how most people are sidetracked in life. They're sidetracked. They don't get it, and you know what? They're gonna miss at the judgment seat of Christ. They're gonna miss, and they're gonna be able to say, those families are gonna say, hey, God's gonna say, you know what? I gave you the opportunity to do something with your life that counted. And they'll say, oh. They didn't get it. This is a vital truth for God's people all over the world. And of course, our missionaries, they're just crying, praying for people who will get it, right? But what do you think about God when He saves these people? He's saving them for a purpose, amen? So, I hope these things are encouragement to you. Let's pray. Lord, thank You tonight that we can look at the Word of God and that we can take just a moment to see that even the jobs that we have in this life give us the opportunity to make our churches strong and to make them solid. And they give us the opportunity to even serve You. And we are thankful for that. And Lord, I just pray that You encourage Your people to really consider what can make their life really of lasting, the most lasting impact in the program of God. And Lord, we never know it never happens by accident. It always happens by decision. May we hear and understand Your call in this area. In Jesus' name, amen.